On a soupy July day in Brooklyn, Philip Lopate leads me up the steps inside his home. Along the way to his third floor office, we pass bookshelves. They're everywhere until we get to his perch. The writer known as a film critic, essayist, fiction writer, poet, and teacher shows off the custom-built white bookcases that line the room's four walls. Each case is jammed with books. Piles of more books stand on his desk, on the floor, on small tables, even inside the fireplace serves as storage for magazines and videotapes. The room, in fact the entire brownstone, overflows with stories well told, and a lifetime of research and inspiration.
Yes, this is my nest, my aerie, and it is like a kind of a treehouse in the sense that I'm on the third floor, and I look out at these trees across the way, and surrounded by books, which is the way I like it. They say books do furnish a house, and that's been my experience, certainly. I would rather have a book than borrow it from the library. I mark it up, and I used to get into arguments with my wife. She's a painter and a graphic designer, and she would say, we don't have any room for paintings, for artworks. These books are taking over, you know? But I tried to argue that this was my livelihood. This was a working library. These were not passively sitting there. These are books that I use again and again. Staring straight ahead, we have a shelf of essay books and nature writers. Nature writers are on the bottom because I'm not really a big fan of nature writing. They're not at eye level, you might say.
Now, tell me, are these books that you've chosen essays from for your collection?
I basically have these American essayists, living and dead, like A.J. Liebling or Edward Hoagland or M.F.K. Fisher. Then I have a whole slender bookcase that's just composed of books about New York City. My writing career has developed a lot of subspecialties. I'm considered somebody who knows a fair amount about New York, and so I have all these reference books and history books and so on that I pilfer shamelessly when I'm writing my own pieces about New York.
Are these books that you used when you were working on the waterfront?
Absolutely. And also when I was doing my anthology, Writing New York, about New York literature. There's a whole bookcase full of film books because film is another one of my areas of supposed expertise. I use them again and again in film pieces. Again, reference books and also books of film criticism. I did the anthology of American movie critics for Library of America, and I amassed a lot of these books at that time. And as you can see, they're not only vertical, but they're also horizontal on top because I ran out of space. Next to them, don't ask me why, is a bookcase that contains Japanese and Chinese books. I'm a real Japanophile, and I love Japanese literature. And then in the bottom shelves, there's American poetry.
Again, those are kind of out of sight. So is that something you don't want to see so much?
No, I'd love to see them. Again, there is this struggle between the books and the furniture. And my wife decided that some of the chairs in the living room were too big for the scale of the living room. So she exiled them to my office. And so now I have these big chairs. I don't really need quite such big chairs, these big armchairs. And they're blocking the view of some of the books. So this is a struggle that one has to endure, I guess. And sometimes when I have to get a book of poetry, I have to move the lamp and the chair out of the way. In the other direction is a floor-to-ceiling massive bookcase that consists, again, of national book collections. And the first one is Russian literature, and then German literature, and then French literature, and then Italian literature. And running down the bottom two shelves is Spanish and Portuguese literature. And then there are these little areas like Danish and Swedish, Scandinavian literature, which I put under German literature because I thought that it had bore something of a resemblance, you know. My favorite books are in this section because I really fell in love with world literature when I became a writer, when I wanted to become a writer, more so than American literature. my whole reading pattern is that I would sort of live in a country for a while in my head and read those. And so in a way, it took me a while to get to American literature.
I know Montaigne is one of your favorites. There's several of his right at eye level and fingertip.
Yeah, Montaigne is perhaps my favorite. So I've got the Donald Frame translation. I've got the Screech translation. I've got Frame's biography. I've got another biography that's just about to come out by Sarah Bakewell called How to Live about Montaigne, which is very good. And some other books about Montaigne that I've used in my teaching.
Within each collection of each country or each genre, do you have a method of organizing them by alphabetical by author or title?
They're arranged alphabetically by author. It's unsystematic, you might say, but there is a kind of system in that it's all alphabetical, and I know I can put my hands on a book. It's really not that hard. It only takes me a minute to find anything. Turning to the other wall, the final of the four walls, I have dead Americans, you might say, because I have to put the living Americans down on another floor. I ran out of space here. Sometimes I have to move things around because someone dies. Like John Updike, I think, is still in my... Oh, no, he's here in the dead writers. Wow, I moved him from living writers. That is very quick of me. Usually it takes a while. They sort of live in a bit of limbo. You know, they're still in the live section, and I haven't moved them to the dead section.
Is there a section for Susan Sontag?
Susan is now in Dead Americans, and as you can see on the next two... top shelf, there's a whole lot of her. But there's always a kind of pressure to deaccession books. Every year we have a stoop sale, and I try to comb through things that I'm not going to read again. The result is that over the years, my collection has become more and more conservative or classical because the books I'm likely not to read again or not to consult again are my contemporaries. You know, if it's something like Herodotus, I never know if I'm going to be in that mood, or Carlyle or something like that. I'm much better read in other centuries and dead authors, and I would say rather weak in contemporary literature.
And I see you have stacks of films as well. How do you have those organized?
I haven't figured out a way to store all the DVDs in one place. So, for instance, if you poke your head around, you'll see that at the edge of the bookcase, there's a very skinny bookcase that contains the DVDs from R to Z.
Are they organized by title or by director?
By director, alphabetically by director. I'm enough of an auteurist that I always want to keep all the works by the same person in the same place. Across the room I have DVDs that are essay films or documentaries, because that became a kind of subspecialty, and I'm thinking of writing a whole book about essay films.
How does a book merit being on your desk?
I'm currently writing a chapter in a book about the Brooklyn Academy of Music, its 150th anniversary. I'm writing the first 100 years. It's a big responsibility. It involves a lot of Brooklyn history. It involves performance arts history. It involves architecture. So I have the Encyclopedia of New York City there. I have a book on Brooklyn architecture. And I have a whole bunch of other materials that relate to the BAM project.
And behind me in the hallway, there's a whole lot of books, too.
Okay, now, behind you in the hallway is English literature. And when it begins with Ackerley and goes all the way through, you know, Virginia Woolf, and I forgot if there's any Z writer. But I also have a bunch of sets, and the sets tend to be put on the top or somewhere else. So, for instance, I have a whole set of Charles Lamb's work, and I've also got, for some strange reason, Oliver Wendell Holmes' prose works. You never know when you're going to need that. And Samuel Beckett. Now, the idea of Samuel Beckett's collection next to Oliver Wendell Holmes boggles the mind. And next to them, I have a collection of each one of my books. It was always my ambition to write a whole shelf full of books.
So you don't keep your own books at the ready?
They're not in my office, but what I have in my office in that fireplace are magazines and books which have individual pieces of mine, not whole books. Okay.
Now we're on the landing. And how did you decide to put these books here?
we've got a whole hodgepodge of books here. Jewish literature, biblical literature, Indian, like R.K. Narayan, and Arab literature. Then there's a lot of, I don't know what to call it, but sociological, historical. The next shelf is educational books, because that was a kind of subspecialty of mine for a while.
And I see a book of yours, though, Being with Children.
Yeah. I don't know how that got in there, but anyway. Below them is a kind of shelf of Greek and Roman literature. Moving right along, there's a bunch of performance books, theater, jazz, playwriting. So this is truly a hodgepodge.
Fair enough.
And then there's a small case of DVDs from F through the beginning of R. So now we're going to go into my wife's and my bedroom, sometimes known as the master bedroom. Up above here, we have living fiction writers. We have four shelves of living fiction writers.
And who do they include?
Anyone from Ann Beatty, Jonathan Franzen and Jonathan Lethem, all the Jonathans, James Salter and Toni Morrison and Richard Price and so on. And then there's a shelf of memoirs, friends of mine like Molly Haskell, Emily Fox Gordon.
Tell me about these films.
These are the final collection of DVDs. They're DVDs A through E or F, something like that.
And on each side of the bed, there are reading materials, nightstands.
That's right. My wife has a whole bunch of books, and I usually have a few magazines or books. Every day I try to read at least an hour, and I don't do it for any other reason than that it keeps me sane. I need somebody else to think thoughts for me. I don't want to think all the time.
Well, it's done a good job so far.
Thank you. Now we're in the first floor living room. We have mostly art books here. They're everything from, you know, de Kooning, Manet, David Smith, anything that you can imagine. And now we'll go to the last collection in the house, which I consult the least, I have to admit, the cookbooks in the kitchen. And my wife loves cookbooks, and she has a wonderful collection. She loves the way good cookbooks look. That's about it, you know, books everywhere. It's all very organized. It's just, it doesn't look organized, but it is organized.